Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive as we talk both local and national sports. Got a different feel to it. Took yesterday off, best of edition yesterday. And because of that, today really feels like a Monday. Got to remind myself, it's the middle of the week. There's plenty going on in the national sports front. We're gearing up for the NFL football season with training camps and who's going to be the no-shows and some of the major contracts coming through. We'll have to talk about the NFL a little bit later on because the Los Angeles Rams are on a spending spree, and it actually affects the rest of the NFL. And yesterday, I know there was a topic of, why are the Rams paying Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley but not Aaron Donald? We'll take a look at what General Manager Les Snead has done and how this actually affects the rest of the league, including Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers. That'll be a fun conversation a little bit later on in the show. Also today, we are going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Helper American Legion baseball team. 24, I believe. We have 24 Legion teams throughout the state, and we've narrowed that down to 8. Over the weekend, Helper participated in the Southern Tournament, in which we had 12 teams narrowed down to 8. Helper wins the regional championship. They go into the state championship tournament starting on Friday as the one seed from the South. They get Syracuse in the opening round, and so we will talk to Coach Cincinnatus about that a little bit later on in the show. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in Major League Baseball. We had all kinds of final scores from earlier today. The Mets topped the Padres 6-4 in a contest that means relatively nothing in the sense of a playoff race. In the AL, we go to the East. The Yankees falling to the Rays 3-2 earlier today. The Yankees losing for the 36th time in the season. Falling a little bit off of the pace behind the Boston Red Sox, but still firmly planted in the wild card spot as far as the American League goes. The Reds stopped the Cardinals earlier today 7-3 in a game that got out of hand late. It was the Indians over the Pirates 4-0. We have the Nationals topping the Brewers 7-3. The Tigers defeated the Royals 8-4. The Cubs finally get one from the Diamondbacks by picking up a 2-1 win. And it was the Phillies topping the Dodgers 7-3, taking 2 out of 3 in that 5-game set. Jake Arrieta picking up the win on the mound. He's now 8-6 on the season. Right now, we have a couple of games in progress. The Twins and the Blue Jays are tied 3-3 in the top of the 6th inning. The Giants trail the Mariners 2-1. That one is in the 7th inning. And as far as baseball goes tonight, a couple of games to get rolling between the 5 and 8 o'clock hour. 5:05, the Red Sox, who have 71 wins on the season, will roll out David Price on the rubber. He'll take on Dylan Bundy and the Baltimore Orioles, who have just 29 wins on the season, one of the worst teams in the bigs. We get the A's and the Rangers at 6 p.m. The Astros will take on the Rockies at 6:40. In the nightcap tonight, it'll be the White Sox and the Angels. Tyler Skaggs, former Salt Lake B standout, will take the mound as he goes up against Big James Shields. Again, start time for that game is set for 8:07. Again on the show today, we're going to be joined by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus to talk about the Helper American Legion baseball season. Big state tournament coming up in just a couple of days. And we'll talk NFL football. A lot of news happening over the weekend. That's all coming up on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, plus a local sports recap. Can't forget right now we have the Pacific Southwest Regional Little League tournaments going on all through Carbon County. We have a couple of games going on at the Little League field and some huge games last night that were marathons in the grand scheme of things. Plenty of baseball talk coming up. It's a Wednesday edition of the show, and we'll continue in just a moment. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
There's no no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the
play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
Wednesday edition of the Coach's Corner. It is baseball all the way around right now locally. We have the Pacific Southwest Regional Tournament for the 8 and 14-year-olds taking place right here in Carbon County. We had a great baseball game this morning that wrapped up. Hawaii and Arizona. They played 18 innings. A game with 18 innings. Started last night, they had to call it because of the lights. Played again today, wrapped it up, 18 innings. Phenomenal. That's great baseball. Over the weekend, we had the Southern American Legion Baseball Tournament, which Hilper won, so they are now the number one seed for the state tournament, which will begin Friday. And joining us right now to talk a bit about that over the phone, we have Coach Jeff Cincinnatus. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, Jordan, appreciate you getting me on the phone to get an interview done. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all, Coach. It was a very busy weekend for you guys, to say the least. You guys participate in the, I guess we call it the regional tournament. You guys come out on top. You get the number one seed from this section of the state moving into the state championship tournament this weekend. So all in all, a very big weekend for your boys.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for us. So we had this little regional tournament. This is the second year we've run that. We had to do it at Pleasant Grove on Thursday and Saturday, and really played well. Beat a good Taylorsville team Thursday night, 12-2, in five innings. Zach Bradley pitched a complete game, just did an awesome job for us. And our bats, we did a good job with our bats. Then we come back and in the winner's bracket and play St. George again, who had won their game Friday night. And it was a struggle. St. George had us down most of the game, leading 5-2 and going in the seventh inning, and we were able to play four runs in the seventh inning to come out on top and win that game 6-5. And I was just really proud of how our kids, just kind of battled the entire game. St. George is a deep team with a deep pitching staff, and I mean, we've talked about them before. They're drawn from four high schools in St. George and have returning college players on their team. And they're built for this kind of baseball. And, I always think it's hard to beat teams like that. But, we've been fortunate to take two of three from them this summer. And that was a big game for us. And then we come back later that afternoon and beat Salem Hills for the second time this year, 5-4. And that gave us the number one seed. And so really happy and proud of the way the guys played. We were shorthanded over the weekend. We had guys gone to basketball camp, and I've got a couple guys that the injury bug has bit them that haven't been able to play for us, in a few weeks, and that's really hurt us too. But really proud of the guys that were there and what the job they did, and that's the never quit attitude this team's had all year. I mean, this is probably our third or fourth game at least that we've won, in walk off style in the last inning, and it just goes to show that. Game's never over until it's over, and these kids play until that point, so I'm really proud of them.
It is a strange format, though, Coach. I mean, it's not too often you have to ask a team to win not one but two consecutive tournaments. And, this is kind of the it's kind of the old topic. I mean, if we're talking about the NCAA tournament, there's always the conversation about would you rather go into a must-win situation, not riding a huge winning streak? I mean, your thoughts on that, because it is unique to have to win two consecutive tournaments.
Yeah, Jordan, it's something that I had a lot of input on a couple of years ago when we talked about running this little tournament, pre-state tournament format. And I thought it was kind of good to get teams acclimated with just how the state tournament's going to be ran. We don't necessarily follow the American Legion rules to a T all year long. We substitute re-entry. We do a lot of speed up for our pitcher and catcher stuff. And a DH rule, we do a little bit different during the summer just to give guys more of an opportunity. And when you go to the state tournament, all those rules change. And you have no reentry, you have no speed up, you can only DH for your pitcher. And, it kind of gives us at least a few games there to kind of just play in that format with those rules and get used to that, because it is a little bit different when you have those rules, and you have to go by them. And so I'm kind of for it. I like it. We played good ball last weekend, and hopefully we can play good ball this weekend. But I think it just gives our guys that atmosphere of, you're in a tournament and you got to get after it and play. And they understand if they're not ready to play when we start the game, I can't pull them out and re-put them back in a couple of innings, and that's the way it's going to be, you know, the rest of the season with this state tournament. So I kind of like it. You know, it's just given us another opportunity to play, you know, with quality teams again right before the state tournament. I really believe the four teams from this part of the, you know, of the state that are going to compete in the state tournament from our league are by far better than the four teams from the North League. And I, you know, I say that without seeing the teams in the North, who just on an every year basis, it seems like our teams are a lot tougher. And, you know, so playing that competition really helps us out.
When you take a look at the division, the Southern Region, front to back, Coach, were there any surprises of the four teams that advanced on, at least in your eyes?
No. It's the same four teams. I maybe the seeding might be a little different than maybe what I thought it might happen. You know, we went into the weekend as really, if you wanted to seed us all 1 through 8 or whatever it was, we would have been a number 3 seed going into the tournament. Pleasant Grove would have been the number 1 seed. I think Salem Hills would have been a 2 seed. Actually, we would have been a 4 seed because St. George would have probably been the 3 seed, and then we would have been the 4 seed. And when you look at the way it worked out, you know, we come out of it as a 1 seed. Salem Hills is the 2. St. George is the 3, and Pleasant Grove is the 4. And so, honestly, you know, if I'm the North Division, and you're the number 1 seed up in the north, and you get our number 4 seed, which is going to be Pleasant Grove, that's not a very good draw for you. You're not really truly getting a number 4 team because Pleasant Grove is a very good team. And, you know, they finished our league this year with the best record. But then, unfortunate for them, they lost to Salem Hills in the tournament this weekend, and it dropped them down to play, you know, for the number 4 seed. So no surprises in the four teams coming out of our league, maybe just the seeding that they're coming out. But all four of our teams are really good teams, and any four of us have a great chance of winning the state tournament. And I'm sure there's a team or two out of the north that, you know, is going to fall into that category. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see any one of our four teams win the state tournament.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Jeff Cincinnatus of the Helper American Legion baseball team. Coach, when you talk about having the fourth best record in the Southern Division, but then going in and winning a tournament, obviously that plays a little bit different. The urgency is a little bit different. And I believe the kids would be more focused. It kind of works hand in hand with what you have told me over the last couple of months. This team is capable of beating anybody on any given day.
Yeah, it's true. We talk about that all the time, and I believe that. You know, I believed it clear back in the high school season with our group, and definitely in the Legion season when we show up and play with the effort and, you know, the urgency of that particular game, you know, I don't think there's a team that could beat us. And I truly believe that. And these guys have shown that on occasion. It's just drives me nuts when they show up and don't play that way. You know, it's just, I just try and tell them, you just don't, you know, these opportunities are once in a lifetime opportunities. And before you know it, they're gone. So this group of kids, you know, they've played a lot of baseball. They've been successful now. I truly believe if they put their mind and their heart to it over the next 4 or 5 days, you know, they can walk away with a Legion title. You know, and if we don't go up there and play with our best effort, you know, we're going to get beat. There are good teams, and, you know, we're going to have to play with our best effort every day. And, again, that's my job as a coach to try and make sure I'm getting the best effort out of our guys every day. And there's days when it's a struggle, I'm not going to lie, and I struggle with it, and I know the kids struggle with it, but every day is a new day, and I just tell them to approach it, you know, like you may not play another game, you know, the rest of your life, and that might be true for some of these guys that are seniors and graduated players. You know, they may not play organized baseball again after this season, and so I really hope they take advantage of the opportunity, and I think they deserve a state championship at the Legion level. I think they've worked hard enough for it. But, again, no one's going to hand it to us, just like we talked about the high school season. And, you know, like I said, we just need to play hard and I think let things fall where they do, and we'll be in good shape.
Well, it is a long tournament. There will be no champion decided this weekend. Even though you guys take the field on Friday, Coach, it'll go into next week. Let's talk about the first-round opponent, Syracuse, right off of the bat. And if you win that game, there's a great chance you'll have to play St. George for a fourth time, which is always interesting when you play a team that many times in a short period of time.
Yeah, you know, talk about maybe playing the best team in the state for a fourth time, and you know, not something I was excited to see with them dropping to a 3 seed and being on the same side of the bracket as us. But, you know, I've said this before, if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. And it doesn't matter whether you beat them the first day or the last day, you still got to beat them. And so, you know, if we were fortunate enough to get past Syracuse on Friday night, and St. George gets past their opponent on Friday, then, you know, we'll meet up on Saturday again, and, you know, we'll do our best again on that day to beat them and whoever else, you know, we have to face. So, you know, I don't know a lot about the North League this year. We haven't, we never played anybody from that league, and so you're kind of going in blind. You know, I'm hoping we're not getting a number four seed that's a lot like Pleasant Grove, because, like I said, Pleasant Grove is really truly not a four seed when you look at how much talent they have. Syracuse, I don't know much about them, but, you know, I always tell my team, I only worry about our team. I don't worry about the team we're playing. I can't control the team we're playing. There's nothing I can do with the team that we're playing at that particular time. It's only about us. And if we truly show up and play with our best effort and give our best, then I'm confident we're going to win games. And so that's all I'm going to ask them to do Friday night, Saturday night. Hopefully come back Monday, Tuesday, and do the same thing and play for a state championship on Wednesday. And that's really all we can do right now.
You guys definitely have the pitching, which is so important when you have a double elimination tournament, especially if you lose a game early on. But, Coach, is the Legion tournament similar to high school, where at the end of the day you have to hit the ball, considering that everyone is going to be in a similar pitching position by the time you get to next Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, actually, the pitching rules are a little bit stiffer than they are at the high school level. You're on a less of a pitch count. I believe that has to do with maybe just the heat of the summer, that they're not letting pitchers throw as many pitches in the summertime. But so the pitch rules are still in place. They're actually a little bit stiffer, like I said, than the high school, so it's a little bit tougher. You know, everybody's going to run out of some pitching by the end of the tournament. The one thing that does help is, you know, we get Sunday off, and so that gives us a day of rest, everybody a day of rest where no one has to pitch. And, you know, that'll help kids out who pitch on Friday and pitch on Saturday to get an extra day's rest going into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, you know, honestly, you know, as a coach, you got to look at things. You always play for the moment. You're always playing for the game that you're in. But you also in the back of your mind have to look down the line of, you know, this happens or this happens. You know, what do I have for tomorrow for pitching or whatever it is? And it changes the way you coach a lot, and I think the guys that can adapt to that coaching and maybe look down the line a little bit are the guys that are a little more successful than others, and especially with the rule changes with the no reentry and DH and things. I've seen a lot of coaches struggle with that, and, you know, it changes the game a little bit, and so, you know, coaching becomes a big part of the game, maybe a little bit more so than in the past. But, again, you know, you can only – if you don't win today – you know, you may not play tomorrow, and so you got to win the game you're in, and hopefully, you know, everything works out for you.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to get you on and get your perspective on the way things are going. Best of luck as you guys start up tournament play. Again, coming up this weekend, hopefully we'll be able to keep tabs on the team, and hopefully you guys get past Syracuse Friday night.
Appreciate it, Jordan. Thanks a bunch.
That's Coach Jeff Cincinnaris of the Helper American Legion baseball team talking about the weekend tournament. We had over 24 teams. Now we're down to 8 as far as the state tournament goes, and Helper just happens to be one of those 8. We've got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to move over to talk national sports, including the NFL, right after this on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queens, where you right now.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down.
Price, Utah.
Now.
Me and my man, Trav.
Yeah!
Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
It's a great time to be a sports fan. The high school fall season is right around the corner. In fact, I was going over schedules earlier today. It's popping up. The golf season starts in just a couple of weeks for high school. On top of that, this is the last weekend without football until we get to the week before the Super Bowl, because the Hall of Fame game is next week. We get the Ravens and the Bears. Ray Lewis, Brian Urlacher, makes sense. Hall of Fame game next Thursday. It has, however, been a pretty big couple of days in the NFL based on a couple of teams spending money, which may in fact lead to some other teams spending some money. Well, last week we were able to talk about Le'Veon Bell did not get a contract done, did not get a long-term deal done with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was franchise tagged, had until July 16th to get a deal done. He'll play under the franchise tag this season. There's been talk that it may, in fact, be his last with the Steelers. And oh, if you're a Steeler fan, that's terrifying, right? To lose Le'Veon Bell? You guys have been fantastic. Why haven't the Steelers caved? And I know there's two sides to every story. Some people believe they should pay him. Some believe they shouldn't. A deal that was done yesterday really opened some eyes on the running back market, and it makes for a very interesting conversation. The Rams lock up Todd Gurley long-term. Gurley made a fine argument for himself as being the best running back in the NFL last year. He was great. 2,093 all-scrimmage yards, that was first. 1,305 rushing yards, that was second. Le'Veon Bell was right behind him in both of those categories. But Le'Veon did lead the league in touches. Gurley gets a four-year, $60 million extension, which means that he'll be with the Rams until at least 2023. He gets $45 million guaranteed, and that's what you have to look at with these NFL contracts. There's so many deals that you can bring up as examples as to why the guarantee money is what actually counts. And the report said that Le'Veon Bell turned down a $70 million offer over 5 years, but he didn't like the guarantee. He responded on social media yesterday to Todd Gurley's contract agreement, congratulating him, which tells me that the guaranteed money was nowhere near $45 million, and that's why Bell turned it down, and that's why he'll enter free agency past this season. Now, if you're a Steeler fan, it's not all doom and gloom because you have the ability to work with him. I mean, you're still the front runner to re-sign this guy. You're going to be in constant contact with his representatives. Le'Veon Bell is basically betting on himself because he turned down a contract that you know had some form of guaranteed money. And so before we move and talk about the Rams, and they've been very busy because they also locked up Brandon Cooks long-term, and I'll tell you why they've locked up Cooks and Gurley, but they haven't signed Aaron Donald yet, who may just be the best defensive player in the league. Here's why it makes sense for the Rams to pay Todd Gurley, but not Le'Veon Bell. And again, I am in no way, shape, or form saying that Gurley is better than Bell, because over the course of the last 3 years, I would take Bell's production over Gurley's hands down. He had a terrible sophomore year, Gurley did. Based on the promise of his rookie season and what we saw last year, that sophomore year was terrible under Jeff Fisher. Le'Veon Bell is going to be 26 years old. When Gurley's contract is up in Los Angeles, he'll be 29. So the Rams have complete control of him for the remainder of his prime. And when you look at the running back shelf life, and here's a list of running backs that have really fallen off after 28. Adrian Peterson's one of them. Jonathan Stewart's another. I mean, the list could go on and on. Lamar Miller signed a massive contract with the Texans, fell off drastically after he got that deal leaving Miami. The list goes on and on. That's after the age of 28. So the Rams are going to have Gurley for the foreseeable future for his prime. To me, that makes a lot of sense. Here's why, if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm hesitant to give Le'Veon Bell a 4 to 5 year contract with guaranteed money to this extent. The Steelers are very familiar with Le'Veon Bell's injury history. We can't forget he had major surgery on a knee. I understand Todd Gurley tore his ACL in college. I get that. 3 years in the NFL hasn't been an issue. And again, Gurley's 24 years old. Le'Veon Bell is 26. When I look at the total touches, Gurley's not that far behind Le'Veon Bell, but there's a lot more miles on Le'Veon's legs. Gurley's 24 years old, 786 carries, 128 passes caught. Le'Veon Bell, 1,229 carries, 312 catches. A lot more touches. Pittsburgh's well aware of this. Similar athletes, both are 225, 230-pound running backs. Both have third-down value. So I think when you take a look at the numbers, for the most part, this is pretty even. These two running backs really mirror one another, especially in the way they are used. The way Tomlin likes to use Le'Veon Bell, the same way that Sean McVay wants to use Todd Gurley. Le'Veon Bell is going to get paid this offseason. If the Steelers don't figure out a way to give this guy a contract that at least looks similar to Todd Gurley, and now the Rams may have set the market here. They may have, because it's unprecedented for a running back to get this, especially the way the league has turned over the last couple of years, with it being so pass-active, pass heavy. We've seen the running back market diminish greatly. I think like 2 years ago, the highest paid running back in the league was at $8.5 million. Gurley's going to get annually close to 14.5. I think it's 14.3. And Bell on the franchise tag is going to make something like 14.5. So they're going to make a similar number this year. But when you really look at the situation, it is similar. Someone will pay Le'Veon Bell after this year. I don't know if that's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. And to be honest, I don't know that I blame them. I really don't. I think I would have a hard time paying Bell that much money and guarantee it based on the mileage that's on his body. Yet again, there has to be a reason as to why Pittsburgh isn't doing it, because the production has been fantastic for Bell. I'm just looking at this from a realistic standpoint. If you guarantee this guy at 5 years from this point on, you're going to have him till 31. And you better hope there's no steady decline in that time if that money is guaranteed, because it can plague your franchise. Now we take a look at the Rams. They have Gurley locked up. They also locked up Brandon Cooks. I was asked this question yesterday. Why would the Rams sign Brandon Cooks and Todd Gurley before giving Aaron Donald money? And it's really simple. Aaron Donald wants to be paid like a quarterback. And I'm telling you right now, I recognize Aaron Donald. I don't know that he's the best defensive player in the NFL. I think he's top three. You know, if you're going to ask me, would I rather have Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald? Ugh, that's tough. You can make a case for both guys. I'd probably be more prone to paying Khalil Mack. But this is almost a standoff in that regard. The Rams probably want the Raiders to set the market with Mack, especially knowing that Aaron Donald is looking for quarterback money. That's what the reports are saying. I get why they haven't upped Aaron Donald, re-upped on Aaron Donald yet. I get it. Brandon Cooks makes a lot of sense. This is a guy that has had success playing with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. He's only 24 years old, by the way. But he's played with Drew Brees. He's played with Tom Brady. He's been around winning culture. I think he's a legitimate number one receiver. He definitely is going to preoccupy the safeties. He's a downfield threat. The Rams did not wait for Odell Beckham or Julio Jones to set the market. And the NFL, I say this all the time, it's a copycat league. It is legitimately a copycat league. What the Rams are doing right now is so similar to what Philadelphia did last season, and they won a Super Bowl. That's going to be the new trend. I'm talking about loading up on very friendly deals, bringing players in on one-year contracts, trading draft picks to maneuver around almost a dream team. It was kind of like when Philadelphia made the trade for Ajayi last year. The Rams have kind of done a similar thing defensively. It's a copycat league. And looking at what Beckham and Jones are going to get, because the Falcons can say all they want, they're not going to pay Julio. That could lead to another holdout. Look, someone will pay him. I do not believe that Brandon Cooks is in the same realm as Julio Jones or Odell Beckham. I don't. We're talking about tier one receivers to a tier two. Not saying Cooks couldn't evolve into a tier one. He's not right now. But don't allow the tier one wide receivers to set the market. Get out ahead of it. Plus, you gave up a first-round draft pick for this guy. You better make sure you lock him up long-term. And that's what the Rams did. They did not allow the Falcons or the Giants to set the market on a wide receiver. I think that was a brilliant move. With Todd Gurley, they locked up a running back with a friendly, all things considered, it's a friendly contract and one that will make Todd Gurley happy because he's getting his $45 million guaranteed. And the way this contract is set up, it's beautiful. I would expect Aaron Donald to get paid relatively soon, but you have to be careful with it. And this is why LA is in the situation that they're in, because they have so many rookie contracts that they were able to go out, acquire Ndamukong Suh, acquire Aqib Talib, bring in a Marcus Peters, got rid of Alec Ogletree, got rid of Robert Quinn. They were able to move some of the bigger contracts, bring in rookie skill contracts, and build around them. It's the same model that Philadelphia presented last year, and that's why they won a Super Bowl. Everything that I'm watching Les Snead do right now with the front office for LA, Philadelphia has already done it. So while the Rams did not wait for a couple of other teams to set the market for wide receivers, they're waiting on the Raiders to set the market for defensive players. Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald come from the same draft class. In fact, the Rams could have had both of those guys. Instead, they passed on Khalil Mack. They drafted Aaron Donald afterwards. But when I say the NFL is a copycat league, it's based off the most previous contract that was signed. That's why Matt Ryan got the contract he signed. It was after Matt Stafford. Okay, the next massive quarterback contract coming up, which more than likely will be Carson Wentz or maybe even Jared Goff, they're going to be negotiating against a Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers type contract, because that's just the way the league works. Let the Raiders set the market for Khalil Mack. The Raiders aren't going to let Mack go. In fact, based on the way the teams are built, I would expect the Rams to franchise tag Aaron Donald before they set the market with him as a defensive tackle. I would not pay a defensive tackle quarterback money. Would not do it. And if we're talking about teams, and I just mentioned Matt Leinart and his contract with the Detroit Lions, let me ask you this. Ndamukong Suh, who's now a member of the Rams, it's funny how this works, right? He got paid a boatload from the Miami Dolphins. The Lions go out and they found an adequate replacement. And did they really suffer defensively enough to look back and say, you know what? Should have signed Ndamukong Suh. Nope. Sure didn't. I really respect what Aaron Donald does. I think when you put it in the grand scheme of things of a 3-4 defense, that guy is very, very valuable. You still have the franchise tag. Maybe you sign LaMarcus Joyner long term. Maybe you move on from him at the end of the year. I don't know. But you have that franchise tag in your back pocket. If Aaron Donald doesn't report, and I believe Khalil Mack as well, by August 7th, they're restricted free agents going into next year. That matters a lot as well. It's going to be a nice standoff to see who sets the market for a defensive player, I should say. Is it going to be the Rams or is it going to be the Raiders? Got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Here's another interesting question in the NFL. Dez Bryant doesn't have a home. Forgot about that, right? Dez Bryant is still a free agent. Could you imagine this 3 years ago? Cleveland has been rumored for Dez, especially with the problems that they have had with Josh Gordon. Would that be a good landing spot for Dez Bryant? We'll talk more NFL football and bounce around some of the national headlines when we return. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we're back right after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
Back to wrap up this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports. Might as well end by talking some more NFL football. Dez Bryant still does not have a home. Here's the question. If you were the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, would you bring him in? The Browns have discussed adding Dez Bryant, and I'll tell you right now, Dez probably wishes he would have taken that contract with the Baltimore Ravens. But because of Josh Gordon, and really you don't know what's going to come of it. I'll tell all the fantasy owners out there with Josh Gordon, if you're in a dynasty league, be wary of that guy. I don't know what production you're going to get out of Josh Gordon. I really don't. But with the idea of him missing some time, and I think that's a very strong possibility, would you bring in Dez? I think he's talented. I think the Browns are really thin at wide receiver. With Gordon leaving the team and Ricardo Lewis out for the season after having neck surgery, I don't really know what the Browns would do at wideout. And I think bringing in Dez Bryant on a one-year contract is really low risk, high reward. I really don't see what the big issue would be. Bryant, released from the Cowboys, spent 8 seasons there, went over 1,000 yards 3 times, has 531 catches and 73 touchdowns in his career. Started 16 games in 2017. So you do have some stability there. Why not? I mean, the Browns reloaded this offseason, right? They made a lot of moves in which all point to the fact they want to be competitive right now. Let's be real. Hugh Jackson is fighting for his job. I mean, that's basically it. Hugh Jackson is fighting for his job. So if you have the opportunity to bring in someone like Dez, I don't understand why you wouldn't do it. To me, again, low risk, high reward. If it doesn't work out, cut him. I'll bring in Travis Anderson for this particular segment. Travis, Dez Bryant to the Browns. If you're the general manager, do you pull the trigger on that?
I wouldn't. I would stay away from Dez Bryant if I was Cleveland. You have a young roster there in Cleveland. I just think that Dez Bryant's kind of a head case.
I think he's a head case. But again, going back to it, we're talking about a one-year contract at a guy that has next to no offers. And again, I do believe that he is regretting turning down the Baltimore Raven deal.
He should.
He should be regretting that. But when I look at what they have at wide receiver, you have Landry, and again, I'm not expecting a whole lot out of Josh Gordon. I know Baker Mayfield is going to be the man at some point in time this year, but you have two capable quarterbacks ahead of Baker Mayfield, two that have been around in the NFL that I think have some leadership ability. I like what they have coming out of the backfield. We're talking about Hyde and Johnson and Chubb. To me, there's a lot of talent there. You went out in the offseason and you really spoofed up this offense. Plus, we haven't even talked about Njoku yet at tight end. Talk Corey Coleman. We could talk about Higgins. I mean, they have several medium options at wideout. If you invested this money into Taylor, you've invested this money into Mayfield, I think you owe it. I think you owe it to your franchise to bring a guy like Dez Bryant in. I agree with you. He is a head case. I get that. And if you've watched any of the the All or Nothing Dallas Cowboys series, you know what I'm talking about. This guy's he's been a headache, not only on the field, but off of the field as well. I just don't think the Browns have anything to lose. I really don't.
Yeah, bring him in if you want. I just think that Dez Bryant should maybe wait it out because there's going to be a contender that might pick him up. But I can get your points with Cleveland.
I mean, you're 1-31 your last 32 games.
You have to start winning. And
What are you waiting on?
And I think Cleveland this year can win 4 to 5 games. That's without Dez.
I could see that. I could see that. I think they have the possibility. And don't forget, they don't have Joe Thomas anymore.
No.
And he was a staple of that team for a very long time. Leadership on a team that was horrible. I get it. But that guy's on his way to the Hall of Fame. To me, there's just nowhere to go but up. And look, I know, you know, it's funny. We were talking about the Rams and the moves that they made last segment. And the idea, ESPN writes an article. I'm not even sure who wrote it. It was on ESPN talking about the potential fallout. It might have been Andrew Berry. I'm sorry. I don't know. I can't remember who wrote the article. Talking about the potential fallout of these deals. Look, the Rams are a franchise that has been historically bad over the last decade and a half. Had a good season. They're in win now mode. Yeah, had a great season last year. From a fan's perspective, can you not appreciate the fact that that team is trying to go all in?
Yeah, I'm not even a Rams fan, and I love everything that they've done this offseason. And credit ownership, Les Snead, everybody involved with the Rams, because they know that they have the talent around them. You spend the money, you go for it now, because you don't know how many chances you're going to get to win a Super Bowl.
I agree with you. Now, when we look at the Cleveland Browns, they're not winning a Super Bowl this next season.
No.
They're not going to go to the playoffs.
No.
But at the same time, if you're a Browns fan, would it not at least be a tip of the hat that you're trying and you're taking a risk on Dez? And what if, and this is a big what if, but what if a rejuvenated Dez comes in and he's the Dez Bryant from 3 years ago? What if you now have, I don't want to say bargaining power, but you have the first negotiation to bring him back next year. And if it doesn't work, you cut him. But with the Josh Gordon situation, to me, and look, I can't buy the idea of Cleveland staying away from Dez Bryant because he's a headache when they have stuck with Josh Gordon for all these years. Hard to buy that argument that they would stay away from Dez because he's a headache, because there is not a player in the league that has been more of a headache than Josh Gordon over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, he's been a nuisance for Cleveland, and he's not really produced for Cleveland because of his off-the-field issues. So, yeah, I get your point with Cleveland. I just don't think it makes sense for him, really, for me.
I think it's a tip of the hat to the fan base. And again, I think it's low
you
risk.
You owe it to him, yeah.
Come on, give him something. Give him something. We're not going to see Baker Mayfield until week 7 or 8. Tyrod Taylor is a good enough quarterback to where we're not going to see Baker Mayfield to at least week 7 or 8. That's when he'll take over. By that point, we'll see if Hugh Jackson still has a job. But this is a team that has lost 31 out of their last 32 games. That is unbelievable to think about.
It's hard to wrap your head around that statistic that they've won in 31.
That is insane.
It's bad. It's bad football for the last 2-3 years.
You have nothing to lose. No. You have nothing to lose. Go get Dez. Now, with that being said, I want to end the show with this. Excited to announce that we will have a new show coming to KOAL beginning August 4th. Every Saturday, Travis, along with Dave Hokanson, will be talking NFL football. It's a year-round show, and again, the first show is going to be August 4th. It'll begin at 4 p.m. It'll take the spot of the Best of Drive Time Sports on Saturday. The Best of Drive Time Sports will still be in play on Sunday. Travis, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we were tinkering around with some ideas, and we came up with some NFL, because NFL is year-round. Everybody loves the NFL, so we're going to have a lot of fun with it.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be on the producing side of it, which will be fun for me as well. That's going to do it for us today. I want to thank Coach Jeff Cincinnatus for taking out the time to join us. Best of luck to Helper as they move on to the state championship tournament. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.